chance to worship the Lord as we gather around the table, but I've got something on my heart I want to share with you first. I don't know if we should dismiss Children's Church right now or not, but if y'all want to, I don't know if our Children's Church workers are ready. We're dismissing a little bit early this morning, but if those of you got children, if you want to slip out, that's fine. I trust that our Children's Church workers will be ready. But I felt impressed of the Lord to share with you something's on my heart before we get around the Lord's table. It's so very important. I know that I want to be focused, and I believe you want to be focused as well as we celebrate together the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. But you know what, beloved? Honestly, there's a lot of people that are just discouraged today. There's a lot of people that are unhappy today. In fact, there's maybe somebody here today that's unhappy. Tell me, are you happy today? Are you experiencing the joy of the Lord? Probably there's some of us today that say, you know, I'm unhappy, and I'll tell you why I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy with the government. How many are unhappy with the government? I mean, with all the stuff going on in our world, and you see what needs to be done, it's not being done, and it can just get you to a state of unhappiness. And then maybe there's some that are unhappy because of things, the way they're going in your life. Maybe they're in your job isn't going just the way you want it to go, or maybe there's some family issues, financial problems, whatever it is. There's a lot of things that can cause us, the people of God, if you're here tonight, today, and are a Christian, then thank God, you ought to be happy. We ought to be the happiest people on planet Earth. And you see, it's not a good testimony when we walk around with a gloomy, doomy face, and like we've been weaned on a pickle. I mean, really, the world needs to know that our Lord lives. And so I want to encourage you today that will you be happy in the Lord today? Will you understand that Jesus said he came to give us life and give it more abundantly? And I just want to encourage you today to be glad in the Lord. In fact, the psalmist said, would enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Tell me today, are you happy? Are you satisfied in Jesus? Has he forgiven your sins? Do you know that you know you got a place in heaven? Are you walking with him daily? Are you experiencing his peace that passes understanding? Some things we cannot control, and that's where we sometimes develop anxiety and worry. Maybe you're here today and you've been anxious about something. Maybe it's something you can't change. And I pray today, the Spirit of God, as we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus, that God will make you glad in him, because we've got a lot to be glad for. And the church said, wait a minute, we're at church, I know, but you know what, beloved, we ought to be happy at church. We ought to be enthusiastic about the things of God. In fact, I can't help it at times. I've got to be vocal. I have to, what's in me's got to come out. And a lot of people say, well, I'm just not emotional, pastor, or when we come to church, we're supposed to be solemn and all that. And I understand different people are different ways, but when God has been good to you, as good as he has been to me, and when the Lord has saved you by his marvelous grace, I don't know where you would be today, but I know where I would be. And I can't help but when I get to thinking about how good God has been to me and how the Lord has rescued me from the penalty of sin, and thank God, even the power of sin, and one day the very presence of sin, I can't help but to say, Lord, you've been good to me, and I want to rejoice in you. I want to lift up your name. I want to praise you because of who you are. I just want the world to know, dear God, that you're the best thing that's ever happened to me in all of my life. And Lord, without you, I'm absolutely nothing. And Lord, without you, I can do nothing. I don't care what people think about me. What I want to do is bless the Lord and praise the Lord. And it's high time the people of God learn how to praise the Lord. Amen and amen and amen. We just need to turn loose and just say, yes, I've got problems. Yes, I don't have all the answers. But my God is alive. He's risen from the grave. He's coming again. His word is true. I'm standing on his promises. And thank God, all hell can't stop me from blessing the Lord and praising the Lord and thanking him for all that he's done and all that he's doing. Oh, listen, beloved, I pray that God will make us as a church, a happy church, a church that's full full of joy, unspeakable, full of glory, that we'll just shout and say, hallelujah, my God reigneth. He's still on his throne. He's coming again one day in glory and power. And thank God the devil can't stop him. The government's not in control. God's in control. And thank God the kings can't control this whole world. The Bible says time's running out. Time's short. And what we do for the Lord, we need to do it now. And we need to, as the redeemed of God, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You've been silent too long. You've been quiet too much. The devil's robbed you of your joy. The devil's robbed you of your song. And many of God's people, we are discouraged and depressed. I tell you, God wants to do some great things in your life today. Break out of that prison of a lack of praise. Break out of that state of looking down. Will you look up, child of God? Will you look to Jesus now? Will you stand on his promises now? I'm telling you, praise God, when you do, you'll be glad when you come to the house of God. You'll say, it has been good to have been in the house of God. When we meet with the Lord, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. My God is a great God. How great is your God? Is he enough to praise? Is he enough to bless? Is he enough to say, hey, my God, I want to tell the world, Lord, I love you and I bless you and I thank you that you love me and you saved my lost, hell-deserving soul and you brought me out of the pit and you put my feet on the rock and you gave me joy, unspeakable, full of glory. Let the church be the church. Let's praise God. Let's learn to thank God. Let's learn to say, Lord, I'm not going to let the rocks outdo me. I'm not going to let the rocks outdo me. Well, the Lord said, he is worthy of all praise we could give him. And oh, I tell you, it'll do your heart good. I said it'll do your heart good. And by the way, we don't just praise God when the music's playing. We can praise God all the time. Amen and amen and amen. He inhabits the praises of his people. He gets actively involved when we begin to praise him. If you got burdens on your shoulder, if you got cares on your mind, if you got troubles everywhere, just praise God anyway. I said praise God anyway. You watch. I guarantee you, when you begin to praise the Lord, those burdens will be lifted up. When you begin to thank God for his goodness, then all of a sudden, you take your eyes off your problems and eyes off of things you can't fix and put them on him, the author and the finisher of our faith. And there's nothing too hard for my God. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing too hard for our God. And so may the Lord help us today as we just come and celebrate who he is and who we are in him and thank him so much. You know, we got a dog at home, and I've noticed our old dog, the dog's name is Sadie. I've been taking care of the dog the last couple of days. Deanna went down to visit with her mom. But I noticed one thing coming in late at night, sometimes 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Boy, I open that door, that back door, and you know what that dog will do? Every time without fail, wagging that tail. That dog's happy to see its master. That dog, I don't know if the dog has a bad day or not, but isn't it amazing how the dog seems, our pets seem. By the way, a dog is a man's best friend. You do understand that. But you know, speaking of that, it reminded me of the old dog that was laying down at the storefront, and the old dog couldn't do anything but howl. Just a howl all the time. And woo, I mean, that dog would just howl, and somebody said, well, what in the world's wrong with that dog? Old hound dog? He said, well, don't you know? That old hound dog is sitting on a kookaburra, laying down on a kookaburra. The old man said, man, why don't that old hound dog get up off of that kookaburra? And the owner said, the dog would rather howl than get up off of the kookaburra. Isn't that like some of the people of God? We'd rather complain than shout victory in Jesus. We'd rather, I've got the preacher now. We'd rather throw a pity party and say, oh, pity me. Look at all the things that are happening bad to me. Instead of saying, look who God is. Look how great God is. Look what Jesus has done. Look who I am in him. And praise God, I might not be able to figured it all out, but I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I'm telling you, God is a great God, and we just need to bless Him today. We just need to praise Him today. We do. We really do. God help us to do it. God help us to do it. And so I begin to think about this thing, freedom. Freedom. That is, ring the bells of freedom. Ring the bells of freedom. As we prepare our hearts, this is just something from the heart to your heart. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn, please, to the book of John chapter 8. As we prepare our hearts, we gather around the Lord's table. Just a few thoughts from the Word of God. And in John chapter 8, if you would stand, please, as we read John 8, you recall the Gospel of John was written that those that might believe that Jesus was the Christ and that believing they might have life in His name. John 1, He is the living Word. The Word became flesh. John 2, He's the miracle maker. John 3, Nicodemus, Pharisee, a religious man, you must be born again. John 4, oh yes, the noble man's son. Go thy way, thy son liveth. John 5, yes, the impotence meets omnipotence. The paralytic man is healed 38 years by the poolside with no help and no life. And Jesus came just in time. I'm glad He's an on-time God. John 6, there were some sign seekers, but there were some serious saints in John chapter 6. They were looking for another free lunch like a lot of people today. In John 7, I love that description of the Feast of the Tabernacles when Jesus stood in the midst of that Jewish crowd and said, "Ho! If any man thirst, let him come and drink. He that believes in Me, as the Scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Oh, rivers of living water. Tell me, are the rivers flowing to you today? Are the rivers flowing to you today? Look at John chapter 8. And for the sake of time, I just want to simply summarize John 8. It's noticed that Jesus is saying He was going to die, but He was going to die without sin. But He said to the Pharisees, "You're going to die in your sin. If you believe not I'm He, you're going to die in your sin." Listen to me, if you're here today and you're not saved, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I've got bad news. You'll die in your sin. You'll die without God. You'll die and have to pay a penalty, an awful penalty, which is the lake of fire, which is hell. Oh, but you don't have to die in your sins. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said that He would die for their sins and that He would take away their sins. And then we come to chapter 8 and verse number 31. Look at it, please. In chapter 8, verse 31, verse 30. He spake him these words, and many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's say that together. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Say it one more time. Father, thank You for the truth of Your word, the truth that You are the living truth. You embody truth. You are who You say You are. And by faith we believe, and by faith we take You at Your word. And I pray today will be the day of salvation for somebody here today. I pray today, dear God, Your Holy Spirit will come with conviction and conversion. And dear God, our eyes will be opened up to see You and all of Your glory. Thank You, Father. The truth has set us free. The truth about ourselves, the truth about our sin, and the truth about our Savior. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for my sins. Thank You for the blood washed church today. We've gathered in Your name, and we're hungry for You, and we're thirsty for You. And Lord, we're longing to sit at Your feet, and we're just needing a fresh filling today because of, Father, all that we face in these days. You know us, and thank You that You're with us, and we give You glory now for speaking to our hearts and changing us just because. And Lord, as John and Peter said, people saw that it made a difference, that they had spent time with You, Jesus, and it makes all the difference in the world. And thank You now, In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we praise you for the souls that are lost here today that will be found. I know you love them. I know that you're seeking them out. I know that, God, you're knocking on hearts. I know, Father God, you save the lost because, Jesus, you came to seek and to save that which is lost. Be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Let me just share a few thoughts on my heart before we gather around the Lord's table in this matter of freedom, ringing the bells of freedom, ringing the bells of freedom. Well, what do we mean by ringing the bells of freedom? And I began to think about this, beloved, this week, and I began to think about how we can ring the bells of heaven and ring the bells of freedom. And I could not find a bell to save my life. But I did find this. It's a bad excuse for a bell, but anyway, it'll do. Ringing the bells of freedom. That's what this weekend's about. Freedom, freedom, freedom. And so, what do we mean when we say ringing the bells of freedom? There's a couple of thoughts that I want to share with you. First of all, if you'll notice with me, ringing the bells of freedom. First of all, freedom to believe God. Are you going to believe God today? Are you really going to believe God? Not have you believed God in the past. Are you going to believe God right now? You see, we have freedom to trust God. I know you know all about these words, but the question is, are you and I really relying upon the Lord? Are we really putting our faith in the Word of God? You see, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Let's say that together. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You see, the faith starts in your heart. And then it goes from your heart to your head. And then it goes from your head to your hands. And faith goes from your hands to your feet. And you see, no wonder the Lord Jesus said concerning believe. Do you really believe God? Oh, I know you say you do. I know we write about it. I know we read about it. But my question today is freedom to really believe. Freedom to really trust. You see, we are often say we trust God. We say we believe God. We say we rely upon God. But then the slightest thing can happen and we just get all bent out of shape and we just fall all to pieces and we don't know what we're going to do. Now, I'm not talking about initially. I understand at times that's going to happen anyway. But are we really believing God? I tell you today, I dare you to believe God. I really double dare you to really take God at His word, to believe what God says about you, to believe what He says about not only you, but about your life and our life as His people, as His children. You see, the Word of God teaches that if you say you really got faith and there's no works, then your faith is not the kind of faith of the Bible. Literally, your faith is dead. And so often our faith needs to be upgraded. I went not long ago to upgrade my phone. How many of you need an upgrade on your phone? I believe there's some of us today that need an upgrading on our faith. All the stuff that bombards us all the time, pressures and problems and stresses and situations and things that, again, that are just coming at us all the time. I don't know about you, but my faith needs to be renewed every day. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But this faith, the just shall live by faith. Tell me, we can say we live by faith. We can say rely upon God. We can say it's easy to trust God. But are you really trusting God? Are you? How many today would be honest and say, you know what, Pastor? I have trusted God in the past. I think that I'm trusting God right now. But really, truthfully, I need my faith to be renewed today. My faith in God. My faith in the God of the Bible. I'm going through some stuff right now. And be honest with me, and I'll be honest with you. You know, I've faced some insecurities in my life. I'm facing some worries in my life. Come on, talk to me now. You know what I'm talking about. And therefore, I need, before I come to the Lord's table, as I approach the Lord's table, I need my faith to be strengthened. How many need your faith to be strengthened? Let me see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I believe those that didn't raise their hand are probably not really doing a good evaluation of their own self, because all of us need our faith to be strengthened at times. And you see, speaking of renewing our faith, how many of you noticed, and speaking of shouting, how many noticed coming down Barnes Mountain Road, they paved the road? Hallelujah. Man, I've been waiting for that thing for years. Boy, I could hardly believe it when turned down off of Highway 11 on Barnes Mountain Road. And praise God, my car didn't hit them potholes. And I'm just telling you, oh, bless the Lord. I tell you, when I saw that repaving that structure, I said, glory, glory. How many were glad to see that? Amen. I was glad to see that. Yes, I was. And you know what? But our faith sometimes gets like the road. Come on now, y'all can play church if you want to today. You can be religious if you want to, or you can be honest with God, and you can really let the truth set you free. The truth is, we're not always what we make out to be. The truth is, we want to pretend and let everybody think what we are, when really deep down inside, we're not all that we want people to think we are. Come on, talk to me. Y'all can be honest today, or you can play game if you want to, but we all need our faith, I believe, to be renewed, to be literally resurfaced. Why? Because you know what? That old road, I noticed that road on Barnes Mountain Road, that they begin to get some holes in it. And they'd fill them in, but it would rain. And you know what? Next thing you know, the holes would reoccur. You'd hit the holes and it'd knock out the front end of your car. You understand what I'm talking about? And then it was so narrow that you couldn't hardly pass other cars. I mean, our roads are nice compared to some third world countries. I understand that. But I'm talking about faith today. I'm talking about ringing the bells of freedom. God, renew my faith. There's some of us today that need to get a hold of God. There's some of us today that we hadn't been on our face before God in a while. There's some of us today that there's some things, listen to me, there's some things looming on the horizon that you don't even know about and I don't even know about, but God knows about it, and that's why we need to get with God today. Because the Lord is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. Did you notice the road sometimes cracks? It gets cracks in it, and I want to tell you, our faith gets that way. That's right. Your faith, my faith in Jesus starts to crack. Things, pressures, you understand, big old trucks get on it and things, the weight of it and the pressure on it, begins to crack, it begins to chip, it begins to develop places that needs resurfacing. And so it is with our faith. Our faith needs to be resurfaced, and I believe today that you and I can get our faith renewed by the one of the author and the finisher of our faith, because I want the Lord to pull me through in these days, and you want the Lord to pull you through in these days, because again, we're not absolutely positive what will happen tomorrow, but we can take joy and hope knowing that God's in control of tomorrow. Amen. Regardless of tomorrow, but there's got to be that transaction. If you don't make that transaction and willingly surrender your heart and say, God, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in anxiety, because God, you hold tomorrow, and you're the God of the mountain, but you're still God in the valley. You're the God of good times, but you're still God in the bad times. God, you are trustworthy. Will you trust Him today? Ask Him to resurface that faith, trusting in Him, relying upon Him. And you see, this ringing the bells of freedom, it's not only in the area of faith, but ringing the bells of heaven is another area. And it's what we were talking about earlier, learning to worship God. I want to tell you a little story that happened. First of all, it happened to me last night. I was talking with a lady, and come find out she was from Guyana, South America. And next thing you know, I said, really, you're from South America, Guyana? Yes, I am. Wow, I'm surprised. I said, wow, I could tell by the dialect that you sounded like you were from South America. She said, yes, I'm from that area. And I told her where we had the privilege of going, a couple of mission trips there. And anyway, long story short, I said, you know where I was going with the conversation. I want to know, was she a Christian, all right? That's what I wanted to know. Are you saved by the grace of God? Has there ever been a point in time in your life when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, the shed blood of His precious blood? His precious blood. And she said to me, she said, no, do you know who what I am? I said, no, what are you? She said, I'm Muslim. And I said, oh, okay, you're Muslim. I said, have you ever read the Quran? And she said, well, yes, I read the Quran. And I said, well, okay. I said, do you ever pray five times a day? And she said, well, I try to. And I said, well, do you ever practice Ramadan? She said, well, yes. I said, well, have you ever been to Mecca? She said, no, I've never been to Mecca. I said, my husband's been to Mecca, but I hadn't been to Mecca. And then she said, I said, well, tell me, what do you think about Muhammad? And she said, oh, well, Jesus was a prophet, and Muhammad was a prophet, and Allah is God. And I had to interrupt her. I said, I'm sorry, but Jesus was more than a prophet. He was God. He was more than a prophet, and there's none, never been one like Jesus. Jesus. And then I just told her. And matter of fact, I was in a store, by the way, and she was working in the store, and she started to walk away, but I started following her. Amen. I said, wait a minute. I got point number two. Amen. I got point number three. And anyway, she finally stopped, and I said, but wait a minute. I said, Jesus really loves you. And I said, Jesus really died for you. And I said, Allah don't love you like Jesus does. And Muhammad, I told her, have you ever heard of Muhammad, what he did? She said, yeah. And I asked her about the jihadists and all that. And she said, well, I'm not the radical kind of Muslim, all right? And I said, but wait a minute. The God of the Quran is not the same God of the Bible. Somebody say amen. It's just not the same God. And I said, by the way, Muhammad, have you ever heard that Muhammad married a 9-year-old girl? Actually, she was 7 at the time. Asha is her name. Have you ever heard of that? And she said, you can tell her mind was racing. I don't know if I've ever heard that. Well, you need to check it out. I tell you, Muhammad married, I forgot to tell you this. He didn't consummate the marriage until she was 9. He married her when she was 7, but didn't have sexual intercourse with her until she was 9. Now, is that a sad indictment or what? I just went ahead and told her. I didn't say those words. I just said he didn't consummate the marriage until he was 9 years old. Have you ever heard that? And she just stood there dumbfounded like she'd never heard. I said, well, Muhammad, he was born in 57 A.D., but he died in 632 A.D., and Muhammad was a sinner. And then she walked off, and I started walking after her. I said, wait a minute, I'm not finished yet. I'm going to tell you, Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. There's none other like Jesus. He had power to heal. He had power to save. He said he would die. He said he'd rise again. He said he'd come again. I'm telling you, he's the true God. There's no God like our God. He's the God of the Bible. He's Jesus. That's what we need. But you know, there was another occasion when it was hot one day. It was about 12 o'clock. And our Lord was journeying with his disciples. And all of a sudden, he said, I think I might take a little detour. He didn't say that, but he really did that. How many believe that when God takes a detour, it becomes a divine appointment? I like divine appointments. And there he goes. Jesus has just got to go. And this is in John 4. He just makes his way over to a well. In Sychar, it's 12 o'clock. It's hot. And the woman comes to the well. She's burdened down. She's depressed. She's empty on the inside. Is there anybody here that's empty on the inside? I'm going to tell you, God put eternity in our heart. According to the book of Ecclesiastes, there's that emptiness in your heart today. And until you ask God through the Lord Jesus to forgive your sin, receive Him, until you turn from your sin and trust in Him, there will always be an empty place in your heart. There'll be something you'll try to fill it up with, money and success and friends and marriage and sex and popularity, the whole night, but it'll never fill the real longing of your soul. There's only one person that can fill that exact deepest need, his name is Jesus. When you discover who he is, when he comes in your life, he'll bring you love that you've never had before, and forgiveness of your sin, and a home in heaven, and a personal relationship with a God who knows us and loves us and bought us and is coming back for us. Everybody needs a friend like Jesus. Everybody needs a friend like Jesus. And so, can you see this woman? She's bound down. She's going over to the well, and she's really troubled. And Jesus said, give me a drink of water. And she looks at him and says, don't you know who I am? I'm a Samaritan, and you are a Jew. How dare a Jew, on top of that, a man, ask a woman for a drink of water? But the Lord had to pass by there. I tell you, when the Lord passes by, great things happen. I'm telling the Lord's passing by right now. And when the Lord passes by, you better reach out the hand of faith. And when the Lord passes by, you better say, Lord, remember me today. When the Lord passes by, he might not always be passing by, but when he passes by, praise God, great and mighty things happen. When he passes by, you can reach out your hand of faith. When he passes by, you can say, God, give me a double portion of your spirit. When he passes by, you can say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When he passes by, his divine power is available for you and me to live in resurrection power. Oh, I say, God, pass by this place one more time. So this woman's at the well, and she says to him, he said, woman, if you really knew who I was, I could give you water and you'd never thirst again. And she said, how are you going to do that? You don't have a bucket to draw from. This is a deep well. It's over 100 feet. You know Jacob's well, the well of Sychar. And Jesus said, he said, woman, I'm not talking about physical water. I'm talking about spiritual water. How many believe that spiritual water is even greater than physical water? And the Lord said to her, I'll give you water and you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. You won't have to wonder if you're going to die in your sins. Verily, verily, I say to you, you'll die in your sins if you believe not that I'm he. You'll die in your sins. John chapter 8 and verse 34. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the woman said to Jesus, give me a drink. Are you thirsty today for heaven's fountain? Give me a drink. Then Jesus, being the prophet, priest, and king that he was, looked at her and said, how many husbands you got? You've been married 5 times. And the man you're living with is not even your husband. What was he doing? He was uncovering all of that self-righteousness, all of that religiosity, all of that stuff that we want to say, well, I'm not too bad, and I may not have done this and that. He put his finger on that woman's real need. I'm glad that God can see your need too today and mine as well. Oh, yes, he does. And you see, and the woman said, you must be a prophet. Hello, you must be a prophet. Yeah, guess what, he is. And then she said, but our fathers worship here in this place. He was talking about Samaria, and they had a temple, by the way, not Herod's temple, but another temple was built, so we're told. And so Jesus looks at her and he says to her, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Let's say that together. In spirit and in truth. And then she said, but wait a minute. I'm looking for the Messiah. Ha! Jesus said, I am the Messiah. Then what'd that woman do? Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You know what she did? Boy, I tell you, all it takes is a spark for revival to break out in your family. You get turned on to the Lord. You get set on fire for God. And I guarantee that woman was so excited, she left her water pot, went down to Samaria and said, come and see, come and see, come and see, come and see. How many people have you witnessed to lately? Oh, it's not legalism. It's love for the Lord. For the love of Christ constrains us. It's a privilege to tell people about the one who changed my heart. If you hadn't had a change of heart, then I'll tell you, you don't have a story. But if you've been changed by the power of a living God, you've got a story to tell, and may God help you and me to tell the story that Jesus is still in the life-changing business. Have you had a chance to tell that story lately? Why not right now? Just say, God, I need my faith renewed, that I won't be ashamed of you, that I won't care what people think about me. But God, what matters more is telling people about what you've done for me and who you are. And thank God, it's my not only privilege, it's my responsibility. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now we're then ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. As though God did beseech you, we plead with thee, be reconciled to God. For as God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, number one, ringing the bells of freedom, believe in God. Two, ringing the bells of freedom, of real worship. If I had time, I'd tell you about, but I'm going to skip over it. The Old Testament, there was the Old Testament. You know what the Bible's all about? I'll tell you what this Bible's all about. It's about sinful man, how they can approach a holy God. And all in the Old Testament. And as we approach the Lord's table in a moment, in the Old Testament, that's what it pointed to. The blood of those animals, all of them pointed to a sinful man approaching and being in a right relationship with a holy God. And you see, first there had to be that pardon as they walked. Picture with me of the tabernacle. Picture with me the tabernacle. And in the Old Testament, they had to have the pardon when the burnt offering. And then later they experienced at the brazen altar. And then they slipped a little further from pardon into peace as they went into the holy place with the table of showbread and the lampstand. And they went from pardon, forgiven. That's what the brazen altar represented, forgiveness of sin. And then from the pardon to the peace, they went from being forgiven to peace with God. But that's not all. They had to journey a little further. That is where God dwelt, and that is in the holiest of holies. I know what you're thinking. You're saying, Pastor, only the high priest did that. Oh, I'm aware. But I'll tell you, once Jesus died for our sins, that veil right there has been rent, and we can go into the very holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus. Woo! I'm telling you what, praise God, this scene right here is the holy place, the Old Testament tabernacle, and then I had it working last night. Go ahead and, if you would, just flip it, please. I don't know. All right, there's the Shekinah glory. Oh, from peace to pardon, and pardon to peace, and then the presence of God. I want to ask you a question. How many times, how about this week, have you spent more time? I'm not saying this to be ugly. I love you. You know I love you as your pastor. I hope you know that. How many of you spent more time on Facebook than the Bible book? Oh, that stung a little bit, Pastor. How many spent more time text messages instead of reading the text? Go ahead and tell me. How much time have you spent on Facebook? Has it been equal with the Bible book? How much time have you spent, and I spent, texting? Is it equal with the text of God? Wait a minute. What about emails? How many get emails? Have you spent as much time with emails as you have knee-mails? Have you been spending some time with knee-mails? N-K-N-E-K-N-E-E. All right, I've got to finish. We've got to have our time around the Lord's table. One, two, worship. One, faith. Three, ring the bells of freedom to be happy in Jesus. Happy in Jesus. You say, but Pastor, I don't think that's a good word. Well, argue with the author of the Bible, because in Psalm chapter 32 and verse 1, blessed is the man whose transgressions have been forgiven and sins have been covered. Keep in mind, David is writing blessed. That is the Old Testament word, happy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted that the prophets were before you. The word blessed, that is the Beatitudes. It means happy, happy. Oh, listen, beloved, ring the bells of freedom to be happy in the Lord, to be happy in the Lord, to be joyful in the Lord. God has prepared a place for us in glory. We ought to be the happiest people again on planet Earth. I talked with a lady just yesterday, and you know what she told me? True story. I looked it up, verified to see if it's true. This lady was shot in the back by a strange huntsman. He shot her in the back at a courthouse up there in North Carolina. He tried to kill her. They took her by airplane to a hospital up in North Carolina. She said, Pastor, she's a secretary of a church. She said, Pastor, the bullet went in my back and it lodged in my shoulder. She said, you can verify it, Google it in and see that this didn't happen in June. I did. I wanted to find out, was she telling me the truth? She was telling me the truth. This lady was shot in the back with a gun, and she said, Pastor, God spoke to my heart as I was on the helicopter, not knowing if I'd live or die. She said, God spoke to me through the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. You shall not die but live. And she said, I'm a testimony today. I'm serving God today. I'm in love with Jesus today. My God is a God who heals. My God is a God who forgives. My God is a God who can move the mountains. He can calm the storm. He's a peace giver. He's a mountain mover. He is a grave robber. He's a promise keeper. He's everything. And thank God, our Redeemer, He still lives. He still lives. He still lives. Yes, He does. He's alive. And I wondered if you would stand to your feet with me for a moment. And just right now, as our men come and we're going to get ready to gather around the Lord's table.